Hey everyone, Dawn Sarah here with Sex Gets Real. I am so excited to announce that this episode is sponsored by Hotels by Day. The first thing that popped into my mind when I was checking out their website and getting to know them a little bit was way back in the day when I was seeing Mr. 45, we were always looking for places where we could have our romantic little getaways in the middle of the day, and it was nearly impossible to find a good hotel that did any kind of day rentals. Usually we'd have to check in at 4 or 5 p.m. and try and make something in the evening work. Well, Hotels by Day has been around now for a little over a year, and they do day stay bookings. So you check in the morning and then you check out in the evening and you get to book for the day, which honestly, for those of you who had a huge, exhausting Thanksgiving weekend with family and you just need a little me time, this could be the perfect solution. You just book a hotel for the day, check in, you've got it all afternoon, you can relax, you can use the bath, you can take yourself out for lunch, whatever it is, Hotels by Day is completely changing the way that we do hotels and making them more on demand. So you can go to hotelsbyday.com to see what kind of hotels are near you. They're adding new properties all the time. When they launched, they had hotels only in New York and Chicago, and now they have over 450 properties and they're adding them all the time. So for those of you who are looking for a hot rendezvous spot to do something super sexy in the middle of the day, or you just need a little me time, moms and entrepreneurs, I'm talking to you, you can check out hotelsbyday.com and see what they've got going on. I'm so excited to have them on board.
And be sure to use promo code SGR5OFF for Sex Gets Real 5% off. That means if you decide to book with hotelsbyday.com, you get 5% off your first stay.
The rest of the episode is coming up next. I interview Erica Moen from Oh Joy Sex Toy. We talk all about art for sex education and what it's like running an online comic. We talk about this really fun water sports comic that she had on as a guest artist on Oh Joy Sex Toy. We talk about pole dancing and sex work and all kinds of really fun stuff. So stay tuned. Here comes the rest of the episode. Hey everyone, this week I am going to have an amazing chat with someone whose work I greatly admire and share regularly on social media, so you're probably already familiar with her, but I want to welcome you to the show, Erica Moen.
Hi guys.
Hi. So let me tell everybody about you and then we're going to just like roll around in so much goodness.
Okay, I'm super stoked for that.
Good. Erica Moen is co-writer and artist of Oh Joy Sex Toy, which is a weekly sex education webcomic that I'm sure listeners have seen me share, that you started back in April 2013. Erica's a freelance cartoonist who's had her work published in all kinds of amazing places. And she also regularly teaches classes and guest lectures in high schools and colleges all around the country. And I love this bit that you've been happily married to Matthew Nolan, who's a co-writer and editor of Oh Joy Sex Toy with you since October 2008.
Yeah, we just had our anniversary. But like, we didn't realize it. So I was down in San Francisco and it was like, oh shit, today's our 8-year wedding anniversary. Fuck, we're really bad at this.
Well, happy anniversary.
Thank you. I can't believe 8 years has gone by and like 11 years together. It's just, I don't feel like I'm old enough to have been in a relationship that's over a decade, but here you are.
Here you are. Exactly. Oh Joy Sex Toy is something that I completely adore.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You not only have covered so many really incredible topics and you review toys, but you do it in a way that I feel like is so personable and approachable through the use of your comics. And I know one of the things that I love the most is all of the comics
tend to use these gender neutral bodies. And I've seen so many different sized bodies and colored bodies, and it's just such a fun comic that covers so many things. So what was kind of the impetus for you starting this?
Oh, well, first of all, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And, okay, well, it's been, well, kind of a over a decade in the making, because if we go back way, way back to the beginning, I was in college and I had figured out my sexuality. I had nailed it down and I was definitely a lesbian. The thought of being, touching a guy, and I mean, back at the cisgender guy, but back in those college days, cis and trans wasn't part of the lexicon quite yet.
Right.
But yeah, but just the thought of touching a man made me feel physically ill, and I was exclusively attracted to women. So I was like, well, that kind of sounds like a lesbian, right? So I guess I figured it out. And I had a girlfriend, and we'd be out and about, and strangers would come up, and they would ask really intimate, inappropriate questions. And some people were just being jerks, and they were just like, lesbians, what? How do you do it? And but other people... You know, and like, yeah, they're just being assholes. But then other people were genuinely like, I don't understand, like, what do you do for sex? And, you know, they were coming from a place of genuinely not being able to comprehend it. And my personal, I don't know if motto is the right word, but the way I approach ignorance is that nobody learns anything when you're screaming at, when they're getting screamed at. Like, if there's a kid who's learning how to read and he mispronounces a word and you're like, hey, idiot, it's pronounced like this. Where are you? Some kind of dummy. How did you not already know that? Like, that's not how people learn. That shuts you down from learning. So I've come at it from the point of view of like, okay, well, if somebody genuinely doesn't know, their ignorance is not necessarily maliciousness. It's an absence of knowledge. Uh-huh. And I want to help people understand. And if I can help somebody replace their ignorance with some knowledge, then yeah, I'm going to do that and be friendly and welcoming and help facilitate you to learn stuff, you know? So I did a comic all those years ago, probably like 12 years ago now, that was called Girlfuck. And it was baby's first introduction to how cisgender lesbians would do it with each other and why they would do it with each other. And just talking about some like the most basic stuff. And my future husband saw it, and he'd been a fan of mine for years. And we'd never communicated. We weren't in contact with each other. He'd never reached out or anything. But for years, he'd been reading these comics I was putting online. And so then we met up in real life, and I fell for him real hard, and had to go through a bunch of sexual identity reevaluation, as one does.
As you do.
You know, life. And right. And right, like, before we were even, like, a thing, he was saying, hey, you know, that Girlfuck comic you did, you're really good at talking about sex and making it approachable and understandable and explaining stuff. You should do more of that. You should do more sex education. You should talk more about sex. And I was like, yeah, that's a good idea. I'll do that someday. And then, so we go through a decade of that little conversation over and over again. It's like, yeah, no, I'll do it. I'll do it. And then I was like, you know what? Okay. I think it's time. I really want to do this book for teenagers about how to become sexually active safely, for the most part, as safely as you can. And just talk about sex in a really upfront way. And of course, you know, I do comics, so it would be illustrated. And I didn't want to leave anything to the imagination. It just, everything, you could just open this book and it'd be like, oh, so that's what oral sex looks like. Or, oh, so that's where the prostate is. And just really friendly, really approachable, much like Ojoy is today. And I spent a year working on the first draft of that book. I called it the teen sex book, but that title could be kind of misconstrued as something else.
In our porn world, yes.
Right, yeah. But it's but yeah, so I spent a year working on that. And then I kind of reached a point where I was overwhelmed. And I just couldn't work on it anymore. Because I felt so unqualified. It felt so immense. And who am I to take on this subject? And I'm, because I'm not formally educated in these things at all. I got my degree in comic books. So everything I know, I learned from Planned Parenthood and Wikipedia and Scarlet Teen. Like, I am no fucking expert. And I was just so overwhelmed by the enormity of the project I'd taken on. And then I went on a reality TV show. it's called Strip Search. And it was about cartoonists competing with each other for webcomic themed projects. And the winner was going to get $15,000. And I was like, whew, I could use $15,000. And also, it was being put on by the Penny Arcade guys. And they have this business manager named Robert Koo. Or they had. He just left the company after over a decade. The thing about the Penny Arcade dudes is that they were just doing the webcomic the way all of us webcomicers were, where we're making the comic and we're putting it up online. And we don't necessarily know how to make a living from it, but we're passionate and dedicated and fixated on this obsession of ours. And so we just keep doing it. And you make a little bit of money, but it's nothing you can live on. And then Robert Koo came along. He's like, hey, kids, I have a business degree. I'm going to make this a career for you. Like, you should be making a living off of this. And he took his business smarts and they kept making the comic, and Robert Koo turned it into business money. And I was at a point in my career where I had a bit of a name and I was doing this full time, but Jesus, I was not making a living at it. And I felt really lost. I didn't know what I should be doing, and I wanted to be contributing to my household. I mean, I was in the most minor sense. I was paying for the rent of our apartment, and that was it. Like, nothing more. And I felt shitty. I wanted to be pulling more weight, which I know not all marriage, it's not all 50-50 and you can't always blah, blah, blah. And my husband was very supportive and he was like, no, 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 I believe in this. I want you to be working on this. I'm floating the difference. But I knew, like, you can't do that forever. So I was like, I really want to talk to Robert Koo. I want to get some guidance. I want some professional insight from somebody who knows how to do the business end. And if I did this reality TV show, I would be in the same proximity as him. So I did a TV show, and I did get to sit down and meet with him. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And from that conversation, I gathered, like, okay, I should keep pursuing the comics and sex angle. This huge book that I've been working on, like, it's great. I still want to do it someday, but, like, right now I should be doing bite-sized pieces that I can just share on the internet right now and give my audience what they want. So I came back to my husband and I was like, baby, revelation, I'm going to do these sex ed comics, like, right here, right now. And he's like, oh my God, that is what I've been telling you to do for a decade now. But okay. So glad you came to that realization. yeah. And that's where Ojoy came from. Sorry. That was a super long story.
I had no idea you were on a reality show. That's awesome.
Yeah, you can still watch it. It's Strip Search on, well, I guess if you search for Strip Search on YouTube, you're going to get some varied results, but maybe Penny Arcade Strip Search. Yeah, that was in 2013. I made it halfway through.
Well, I love that you have this, I love how you came to this very kind of like organically of, I have this talent and I love doing art. And I'm just so passionate about getting this information out because of the experiences that I've had. And now you have this webcomic that to me is like such a beautiful invitation to people to talk about things like pegging or water sports or herpes. And through your illustrations, which feels so much less scary and threatening than like real people sitting in front of you, I think.
Yeah, right.
yeah, that, you know, it's such a wonderful conversation starter for so many people.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That is the exact goal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. In fact, I was just looking yesterday, I think, or this morning, at your latest on the Liberator
Lounger. Yeah. I love that thing.
Oh my God. I actually emailed my husband this morning and said, okay, I've wanted one of these forever, but now after reading Ojoy Sex Toy, like, we need one.
Well, I hope you like it. And it's like, I feel nervous about recommending super expensive things like that. Cause it's like, okay, yeah, this totally worked for me. I absolutely loved it. But like, everybody's different. Mm-hmm. And like, what if you get it and it's not the right fit? And then you spent so much money on it. And then I'd be like, God damn it, Erica. I'm so mad at you. But anyway, that's my insecurities.
I feel the same way. Like, I was recently, maybe earlier this year, talking about The Womanizer. Like, so many people loved it, and a couple of people really hated it, and I had kind of some mixed reviews about it, but it was intimidating for me to be talking about it in my experiences, because if someone did go spend the $200 on the toy and then totally hated it, like, that's shit-tastic. That's not, like, you can't do anything with it at that point.
Yeah. Well, and in my reviews, I really try to come at it from a, this is my point of view, and everybody's different. And even when there's toys that I hate, I say, like, this is why it didn't work for me. But if you're somebody who likes this kind of stimulation, that kind of fulfilling sensation, like, then maybe this would be the thing for you. So yeah, no, I try to very much emphasize that everybody's body is different.
Yeah, and I think sometimes people get a little frustrated. Like, I just want someone to tell me what to do or tell me what's going to work. But that, unfortunately, in the real world, not in the, like, Cosmo sex guide world.
One size doesn't fit all.
Exactly. Yeah, we can't make those guarantees as sex educators.
Yeah.
I would love to know what some of your favorite Oh Joy sex toys are, either from like a research perspective or from an illustration perspective, or even just from like the reception that they got.
Okay. My How to Eat Pussy comic.
I'm
really proud of that one, and it got a really great reception. In fact, that was one of the first comics that got all cropped up and went viral without any credit or links back to me. Meh. I'm really proud of that one. And let's see here. What? Hey, baby.
Mm-hmm.
What Ojoy comics are you most proud of?
Visiting a porn set.
Oh, yeah, visiting a porn set when we visited the Crash Pad porn set.
Yeah.
Our consent comic. Although, like, the consent comic, I have mixed feelings on, because I am proud of it. I put off doing it for so long, because that's another immense subject that I feel so insecure about covering, because who am I? And, like, I feel like I did get across the basics of consent, but there's so much more to consent, and I just didn't have the time or the space or the room to be nuanced to cover. Mm-hmm. Like, so the kind of consent I was covering was, you just met somebody at a party, and this is a stranger, and you're going to go hook up with them. It was that, here's how consent should work in that context. And it's not so much like consent between people who have been in a relationship for 20 years. Like, that consent looks different than meeting a stranger consent. And, I don't know, like, when you're talking about consent, of course, like, you don't want to leave any wiggle room for anything that could be interpreted as non-consensual. Mm-hmm. So the way I presented it was very black and white. And, there's a lot more nuance and gray in there. Like, especially when you're talking about relationships that have been going on for so much longer. Cause, like, you know, my husband, I'll walk up and I'll grab his butt, and that's okay, cause we have an established relationship, and I know he's cool with it, and da 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 da, but you couldn't walk up to a stranger and grab their butt.
Right.
So, like, it's just, consent is such a big topic, and I did the best I could in the space I had available. And it's very much like baby's first introduction to 101 consent, but there's a lot more to be said. So, yeah, that's my mixed feelings on it, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, hopefully, if nothing else, some of the content that you create serves as an easy and a safe way to start the conversation and to start thinking about things in a new way, so that then there's that, you know, instead of being closed off of like, talking about sex is hard and consent, and thinking, well, actually, this is kind of cute, and this is something I think I could do and think I could talk about. And now there's some curiosity to actually go start having bigger conversations. Then I think that's a really powerful contribution to the conversation.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I, insecure artist, but I do look at the comics as introductions to these subjects, and like there's every single one, there's so much more to say. And then I get letters from people like, you left out this and you're erasing this. And it's like, it's just a starter. It's just the introduction. It's not a comprehensive thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I always want to do more, but I have restraints. I have, I have a format in place that necessitates very condensed information. Like if you were to just take all the text of the comic, it comes out to about a paragraph of information. Yeah. Each comic is roughly like 400 to 500 words, maybe 600 if we're really pushing it. That's not a lot of words to convey everything you need to know about a subject, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's very much the most condensed summary you could possibly find.
I will just say that I am wildly jealous that you got to be on a crash pad set. And that's like one of my bucket list things of like, oh, the podcast should come to the porn set. But but I love that Oh Joy sex toy of porn set visit. And I would love for you to just kind of share with our listeners a little bit about what that experience was like.
Oh my gosh. It was, I hate to sound all hippy dippy woo woo, but it was kind of transformative. It was so powerful. And I, like, cause it's one thing to watch porn on your screen and be okay with that. But it's another thing to be next to people who are having sex and be present in that scenario. And like, I was really nervous going into it because like, what if it's people doing stuff that I don't want to see? Like, what if it's stuff that's my personal squicks? And it's like, oh, how do I, like, I don't want to harsh their vibe by my own personal reaction. So it's very much like, okay, I got to like practice my poker face. My goal was to be as invisible as possible on set. And, but then when we were there and there were people, like, and yes, there was definitely stuff I was watching and I was like, I'm super into that. And then there's other stuff where it's like, that's not really my thing. But even when it was the that's not my thing, I was overwhelmed with how beautiful I found it. And I was not expecting that reaction. I didn't think I was that, I don't know, one with nature where you're just like, everything is beautiful, nature. It was just like, oh my God, these people are having such a connection, and they're really, the sex they were having was beautiful. They were having the sex that obviously was important to them. They were having it the way they wanted to have it, and seeing people do that, and of course obviously they're doing it for an audience at the same time, but I was really blown away by how powerful that was.
Mm-hmm.
And for people that aren't familiar with Crash Pad, it's queer porn, and it's very much like driven by the performers. It's not like, okay, you're going to come in and first you're going to do anal and then you're going to spit in her mouth and da, 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 da. It's like, okay, the performers are the ones who come in and they say, this is what we're going to do. This is what we've talked about. They're in charge of how it all comes out. And which is not to say the other kind of porn where it is all scripted and stuff is bad. Like it's not, there's room for all of it. And yeah, One's not better than the other. But to see two people coming in and they're like, this is the sex we decided as human beings we're going to have, it was really powerful.
That is definitely a bucket list item very early on in the Sex Gets Real podcast. Our first interview was with a fetish porn star, Lance Hart. And we had a conversation after the interview where he was like, hey, if you're ever in the area, you're welcome to come by and like hang out for a day of shooting. And in that moment, I had no idea that like going to a porn set and actually experiencing it was like a bucket list item. But then the hunger inside of me when he made that invitation was like, this needs to happen at some point. Cause I think exactly what you just described would be, you know, just such a wonderful thing to see not only the performers and how they're navigating the scene, but also like what it's truly like to create porn and to create something like that and to be a part of the production. That's something that I think so many of us forget about when we're watching porn.
Mm-hmm. And, like, Crash Pad does kind of pride itself on including the human moments, but there were still things in it that, like, didn't quite make the cut. Like, I remember at one point the lube was out of reach, and one of the performers had to be like, can you pass me the lube? And then when Shine went to, Shine's the director, Shine Louise Houston, they went to pass the lube, like, the bottle was a little bit slippery, so it just kind of, like, shot out of their hand and flew across the room, and I don't think that made the cut in the final porn, but it was fun. And so, I mean, like, all this, oh, it was so powerful and beautiful, and then also, it was very human, there were silly moments, people would take breaks to laugh, the lube bottle would fly across the room, yeah, whole range of emotions going on.
What an amazing experience. And I love then that you are able to turn that into something for all of us to enjoy and go along on the journey with you.
It meant so much to me to be able to do a comic that was, Matt and I call them adventure comics, where instead of a toy review or sex education, we're like, hey, here is an adventure we went on. And I love getting to tell these stories that have more of a story to it. Mm-hmm. And take our reader with us on some little adventure. I really miss telling more. The comics I used to tell before Oh Joy were very much story comics, primarily autobiographical, and it would just always be about, like, here is a thing that happened. And with Oh Joy, I don't have so much of a chance to tell those kind of stories now. So getting to do that with the Crash Pad comic set, mm-hmm. comic, felt so good to take our readers on a little journey together, and it has a beginning, middle, and end, and I love telling stories like that.
You've worked with a lot of different sex educators and sexperts, and you've covered all kinds of things from, like, touch therapy to BDSM to, I mentioned the water sports one just because mm-hmm. I loved your water sports one so much because, like, water sports isn't necessarily something that I'm into, but the way that you navigated it with animals and and made it something that was, like, soft and sweet and inviting. And so maybe it's not so gross and squicky, which is, I think, what a lot of people are afraid of. And then, mm-hmm. And then to kind of, like, follow along on this, like, it's genuinely cute.
Yeah.
The expressions on the faces. And so then you end up with this, like, wonderful introduction to a somewhat taboo topic.
Yeah.
These really sweet little characters you created. And I'd love to know, who are some of the people that you've worked with where you feel like you were either surprised by what you learned or something that you never thought you'd end up covering, and then you created a comic around it?
Well, so the water sports comic is a great example, and that was made by an artist called Sickly Hypnos, I believe is how it's pronounced.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a furry artist, and when it's funny because people are like, why did you do it with animals? And it's like, well, we didn't actually, I think the artist asked, is it okay if I do this as a furry comic? Because that's the kind of art they do is furry stuff. And we're like, yeah, sure, of course. But we didn't have any political agendas behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And we got furries who were like, oh, you're making furry stuff look weird and scary because you've thrown pee into it. And then we got piss fetishist people who were like, you're making pee stuff look weird and scary because you threw furries into it.
And meanwhile, I'm like, it's all so cute.
Well, yeah, and then, of course, like, if Sickly Hypnos is listening to this, the majority of people were like, oh, this is really sweet and lovely. And pee stuff is also, I am totally cool with people being into that and having that be their thing. You go, guys. Definitely not my thing. And seeing this really cute comic that was talking about why somebody would be into it and how joyful it was for them it opened my mind a bit more, I guess I want to say. I still definitely had my squick factor about seeing some of those depictions of, of urine going in mouths and stuff, but the rest of it, where they were talking about why people are into this, I was like, oh, okay, this makes more sense now. Okay, all right. Like, I could appreciate it more. Let's hear other comics that I thought were fantastic. God, we've had so many. Getting to work with guest artists is one of the strongest points of Oh Joy.
Yeah.
Because, like, Matt and I, we're cisgender, we're white, we're both not straight, but we're in an opposite sex relationship. So, you know, we've got the straight passing privilege. Like, we got to get married when it was still illegal for gay people to get married and da 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 da. And so we're very conscious that we just have our lived experience, our point of view, because how could we have another point of view? By getting to work with these guest artists, we can have these other points of view from dramatically different backgrounds come in and share our audience with them. And also, I love paying cartoonists. Yeah. I love having the power to commission cartoonists. But that's not answering your question. Okay, well, recently we had Vestibulodynia by the cartoonist Cap, and that was talking about an affliction with the vagina and the vulva that causes extreme vaginal vulva pain.
Oh, and yeah, I saw that one.
Got so many people that were like, oh my God, I've never, like, I have that. Or, oh my God, I think I have that. I'm going to go talk to my doctor now. Oh, I love doing the period sex comic, which I guess it's not fully a guest comic, but my friend wrote it, Tracy Poole. she runs the reusable menstrual product company, Glad Rags. And she wrote it, and I made a couple little edits in there. And then I drew it, and it was so much fun to collaborate with my longtime friend and to talk about menstrual health and how you can still have sex on your period and how, like, the how to do it with minimal mess. Like, oh, that was fun. And, oh, A Work in Progress by S.W. Searle? I don't actually know how to say her last name, but it was talking about body image, fat representation, and intimacy. Ooh. And just talking about there's a real lack of showing bigger bodies and disabled bodies and bodies with imperfections, if you want to call it that, and how they're not shown having joyful sex and being like sexual beings in a positive light as opposed to like a joke. And it was a comic all about like not feeling worthy to be a sexual person and learning how finding communities where people were sharing pictures of themselves with all their quote unquote imperfections and being sexual and proud of their bodies and what a difference that made. And it's a beautiful comic. Yeah. Like, oh, there's so many. There's so many. BDSM Safety by Abby Howard. I love that comic.
It's that one's a really good one.
Abby Howard is such a phenomenal cartoonist. Yeah, it's a fun introduction. It's silly and it's smart. All about, here's the very, very basic introduction to BDSM stuff. Yeah, just tons. I could fill up the whole podcast talking about guest comics.
Well, I'm also just hoping that in hearing the diversity of the topics that you've not only covered yourself and all the different toys and stories, but having all of these guest comics come on and share about things like BDSM and water sports, that listeners will be curious to come take a look if they haven't already at everything that you've done, because there you have such a huge archive of so many amazing discussions and it's really fun to like roll around in them and laugh along with you. And you know, I think one of the things that I really admire is that you're so honest in your toy reviews, in like, I really gave it a go, I really tried, and I just couldn't really find something that worked for me. And allowing conversations around sex and pleasure and sex toys to not always be 100% like, yay, it worked, it was great.
You know, it's funny you say that, because in my negative reviews, I try not to be a dick about it. I try to say like, this didn't work for me. I try not to just slam on a toy, because as somebody who creates stuff, I know it takes so many hours and days and weeks and even years to make something, and so much energy gets put into making these things. And so even when it's a dud, like, I know people worked hard on this. So I try not to just be like, what kind of idiot made this? Only dumbasses would da 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 da. So I want to be like, okay, here's why it didn't work. Here's what could be better. And because I approach my negative reviews like that, they still come off as sounding positive. And so people are like, you only give positive reviews. And it's like, no, no, I actually don't. I'm just not negative and mean about it, you know? So they can't tell it's a negative review.
Yeah, well, and I think that's so important because you're also, I think, this is my sex educator lens, but I think you're also modeling that you can be honest and upfront about what's not working when you're talking about sex, and it doesn't have to be negative or rude or off-putting or feel like a rejection, because the way you're talking about how the sex toys feel in your body, you could easily just replace that with how someone else is touching your body or mm-hmm. the things that people are asking you to do. And so there's a way to say, I'm really glad that we tried this. I'm just finding it's not working for me. Here's what might work for me better. Maybe we can try that. And so I feel like what you're really doing is just modeling really good open communication.
Wow. Thank you. That had never occurred to me. thank you very much.
You are so welcome. Okay. So you've covered a billion topics and lots of different sex toys for lots of different bodies. And I'd love to know, is there something that you haven't covered yet that you'd really like to?
Oh God, we have a list of subjects we still want to cover.
Oh, that's cool.
Which none of which I can remember right now. Let's see here. Oh, I want to do one on fisting.
Yeah.
Anal douching. Let's hear. Matt and I were talking recently about how we want to start doing some more kind of personal comics, which I know it sounds like, oh, we're talking about sex. What? How much more personal can you get? But we don't so much talk about our, like, we have boundaries. Mm-hmm. And Ojoy is, like, you can't tell, but you don't actually learn a whole lot about what goes on behind the scenes with Matt and me in our relationship and in our sex life by reading the comic. Like, you can infer stuff and you can make assumptions, but we don't really put it out there like, oh yeah, when Matt was doing this thing to me, this is how it affected me, that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And we're thinking, we kind of want to tell some more personal stories, not so much like, this is how we do it, but just kind of like personal behind the scenes relationship-y stuff a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I'm scared because that makes you vulnerable, but I don't know, I don't know. I feel like we might have some things to say just about, you can't be with somebody for 11 years and not have some evolutions you've gone through and some lessons you've learned together. Yeah, I'm sure as soon as this is over, I'll be like, oh wait, here's everything I want to do in the comic.
Here's 20 more things.
Yeah. Oh, actually, my husband, Matthew, he wrote a Patreon post for our patrons on Patreon, where he does talk about stuff that we want to cover. I need to go in and edit it before I post it. But yeah, if you back cool. us for a dollar on Patreon, patreon.com/Erica Moen, you can read that in the next few days.
Oh, awesome. Okay, good. Well, we will definitely make sure people check out your Patreon because they should. One of the things that I think is also really fascinating, because you just used the word evolution, and mm-hmm. you know, I think that's so important for all of us as people who are talking about sex to constantly be sharing with our audiences of, actually, I'm just going to interrupt myself and say, like, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people really like to pick on Dan Savage for some of the things that he has said over the years. And mm-hmm. I talked to him earlier this year, and he was talking about how,
mm-hmm, oh, yeah. Do you have an interview with him?
Yeah, I interviewed him for an online summit that I did at the beginning of the year.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Yeah. I'll go check that out.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Okay, sorry to interrupt. Go on.
But one of the things he was talking about was, you know, people like to bring up, like, oh, Dan Savage is, like, anti-trans or anti-bi. Mm. And he said, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years. And those things were true for me at some point, but, like, I'm allowed to change and evolve and grow. Yes. And I have. And so the things I believe now are not the things that I believed even a couple of years ago, because
yep.
I've learned so much. And I think that's really important for all of us to, like, constantly model that yes. the things I believed about sex or understood to be true, even about my own body 3, 5, 10 years ago have now changed because I'm constantly like taking in new information and having new experiences. And I would love to know, just from all of the comics that you've done and all of the research and the learning and the toys you've tried, what do you think personally has been one of the biggest points of growth or change for you through doing this process?
I would say I've become a lot more accepting of people doing stuff that I'm not into and I don't necessarily understand, as long as everybody's a consenting adult. It's like, if that's what you guys are into and nobody is doing this unconsensually, fucking yeah, go for it. I, you know, you've got my blessing. It may not be my thing. It may actually hit some of my squick buttons, but I definitely don't think like, oh, well, you shouldn't do that. Or, oh, that's morally wrong. Like, go for it. other things that I've learned. Representation. I've become so, so, so much more conscious of how I depict people. And, okay, well, here's the thing. And maybe I'll probably say this wrong and people will probably get mad at me for saying this. But I, bear with me. But before I started Oh Joy, I was doing autobio comics. Uh-huh. So I was drawing myself and my husband and the people in my real life. And I live in Portland, Oregon, which is notoriously one of like the whitest cities
in the US.
Yeah. And that's not great. I really do love Portland. But yeah, we have a real race problem. And so the people that I was drawing in my comic, I think are my old autobio comic. I'm pretty sure it was maybe 99% white folks, mm-hmm. and white folks who are cisgender and who have body types that look like mine and my husband's, which is pretty slim. And starting Oh Joy, I knew from the get-go, from the beginning, I was like, okay, I want lots of different people to see this and to see a representation of themselves. What I was not expecting was that I didn't know how to draw other types of bodies and other types of ethnicities. And I've really been having to learn. And it's made me so much more observant of people when I'm out walking around. And I guess it's made me really look at my ingrained prejudices and my, oh God, please don't let this soundbite be taken out of context, but like my own fat phobia that I, you know, because we're raised in a society that tells us a message and I'm not immune to that. And since starting the comic, like before I did have some prejudices and not to say like, oh, it's all in the past, because we're all learning, we're all growing, but you know, I would see a plus size body and I would default to thinking like, oh, that person is unhealthy, you know? And now when I'm walking down the street and I see plus size bodies, that's not my first assumption now. I probably don't have assumptions now. Now I'm much more likely to pay attention to like, how does clothing hang on them so I can draw that better? Mm-hmm. And really paying attention to, there's so many different plus, it's not like there's one plus size body. Right. There's so many different ways that people's bodies look and the way their flesh sets on them.
Yeah.
And so I'm so much more observant of that now and paying so much more attention to fashion and how people dress themselves. And before I never really gave a fuck. I never really cared. So it's made me a lot more observant. And it's made me confront my prejudices that I've had growing up in this society that we have. Mm-hmm. It's made me a lot more conscious of that. And I don't know, please don't scream at me, anybody, for this. I'm learning, I'm growing, and I'm trying to...
The listeners are used to me saying all of these things. So, you know, I mean, I'm in a fat body and I've talked many times about my own internalized fat phobia of not only feeling ways about myself, but then seeing other people in fat bodies who were putting their fat bodies on display and me really feeling horrible about that, and how it took me years to start unpacking that and confronting it. And, you know, you're so right. Like, we're all on this journey, but because we're all swimming in this like nasty soup of oppression, it takes time and it takes work to find ways to kind of peel the layers of that onion off so that we can start really deciding for ourselves what the stories are versus the stories we've been told.
Yeah. Yeah. And from studying all these different bodies, and like not just in real life, but like I've subscribed to all these different tumblers that are celebrating different bodies, different ethnicities, different hairstyles, blah, 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 blah. And from paying so much more attention to that, things that I either A, had no opinion on, or B, found unattractive, I found now that I actively think these things are attractive. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't, and not to say like, oh, and I want to fuck them away, but just like a, oh, wow, that's really actually beautiful. And I had not realized that before away. So yeah, I'd say my opinions of beauty have changed a lot. And then just also from a practical standpoint of learning how to draw this stuff, like, you'd think, oh, you're an artist, you can just draw. But no, when you only draw the exact same thing over and over and over again, learning how to draw something else is challenging.
Yeah.
And I've tried different techniques and different approaches and different cartoon styles for drawing different people. And I've had people take screen captures of those efforts and be like, this is not how you draw fat people. This is offensive. And it's like, whoa, okay, sorry. I'm learning. I'm trying. So yeah. And my husband sent me a note to, also another, to get less serious. Another thing that we've evolved on with the comic is learning not to compare toys to other toys as much as we have been in the past. Because you think it's great. Like, oh, I'm sent a million sex toys. That's every girl's dream. But it turns out, like, the sex toys that were my favorites before we started are pretty much still my favorites. And all these brand new toys that, like, jiggle this and swivel that, like, they're not for me for the most part. And so I do a lot of reviews where I'm like, okay, well, this is all right, I guess, but I still prefer my magic wand and a butt plug. And like so many reviews were that, and people were like, okay, that, all right, you like what you like. Can you just focus on this one toy, please? And it's like, oh, okay, right.
So, but you're like, but it doesn't work the way I want it to.
Yeah. But so now I'm just trying to focus more on just talking about that toy specifically and not doing the, but if you really want a good time, pick up a magic wand, you know?
Mm-hmm. How does it feel to illustrate your husband's experiences?
Fine. Fun. I've been illustrating his experiences even before we started Ojoy, because when I was doing my autobio comic, my name was on it as the creator, but behind the scenes, he was like, oh, this would make a good comic. And he'd look at things and be like, oh, the pacing on this one doesn't really work. So like, we've been collaborating together just for over a decade. Mm-hmm. So doing a comic about my experience or doing a comic about his experience doesn't feel too different for me. Although that is something I have to be aware of, because I can miss out on, I can skip over the nuance of his own experience and just be like, put my own assumptions in there and just be like, oh, well, this is my opinion, so obviously this must be his too. And he'll be like, wait, hold up. I actually don't think that. And I'm like, oh, whoa. Sorry, buddy.
But, you know, hey, that's a good lesson for all of us. I think we all tend to do that, whether we're illustrating our partner's experience or just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Let me just make a little interjection. I want to go back to Dan Savage.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Ojoy Sex Toy would not exist without Dan Savage. And for everything problematic he said, and that's all legit, and all the criticism, and people are so entitled to their feelings, absolutely validated. But Dan Savage modeled to me how you do this. The way he has approached talking about sex, being so frank and funny and making it feel like you're talking about sex with a friend. And also the example he set of evolving of changing his opinion, of taking feedback. And yeah, he may be snarky about it in the moment, but he fucking incorporates and evolves his opinion based on people who say, actually, no, I am this identity. I am in this group. And you straight up got this wrong. And he evolves. I think he's a fucking great example of somebody who is learning in public and adjusting his views. And he makes space for so many people to come onto his platforms, his column, his podcast. He brings on people of different experiences, of different identities to, and he gives them his audience, his thousands and thousands of people. And he says, okay, hey, listen, this is out of my depth. I don't actually know what the fuck I'm talking about in this subject. You do. Come on, you talk about it. And like, that's what we do with Ojoy.
Yeah.
And like he's been such an influence, and oh god, like so much of Ojoy, I feel like I've just regurgitated things he said and I drew pictures next to it. So he's been a huge role model in how I approach talking about sex and how I approach sex education. So yeah, all the criticisms, valid, absolutely, people so entitled to their feelings. He's also done a world of fucking good for a lot of people, myself included.
Has he been on Ojoy Sex Toy yet?
No, but I have talked to him about it, so there might be a strobe someday in the future, but he's very busy, so you know. that's one of my bucket things, is to do a comic with Dan Savage.
Oh, well, fingers crossed that manifests in the near future for you. So I would love to pivot away from Ojoy Sex Toy just a little bit and spend our last couple of minutes talking about, I follow you on Instagram. And
oh, do you?
Yes. And I know one of the things that you do is pole dancing.
Yes.
And I would love to hear like how you got into pole dancing and what pole dancing is for you.
Okay. Well, I got into pole dancing because I really like watching strippers. I think they are incredible. Well, I mean, I'm making a blanket statement. I'm sure there's strippers out there who aren't incredible. But for the strippers that are here in Portland that I go and I see at Devil's Point and Lucky Devil Lounge, holy shit, they are phenomenal. They do all this, like, I mean, I love the sexy stuff. Don't get me wrong. I go there because I do like looking at naked girls doing sexy things. But in addition to that, they do these pole tricks and they are just motherfucking Cirque du Soleil acrobats. It's incredible. And I would go there and I would watch them. I was just like, you are magicians. This is magic. This, like, physics don't apply to you. And I very much just admired that and was in awe of it. And then I saw this ad for a pole dance studio here in Portland, Oregon called Ichthyziest. And I looked at this ad for a year in our alt weekly paper, because they ran the ad for a year. I didn't just like look at the same paper for a year. Let's be clear. And there was a part of me that's like, oh my God, I could learn how to do this stuff that I think is magic. But at the same time, I didn't feel worthy. because I'm not athletic and I don't do sports. And it's just, I kind of dance around my kitchen, but that's it. I'm not what I would consider a dancer at all. Well, then finally I sucked it up after a year and I went and do the little taster class and they show you just the very basic, easy peasy things. And oh, I loved it. I loved it. I signed up for the full course and it makes me feel so strong. And it makes me do things that I didn't think I'd ever be capable of doing. I know the word empowered gets thrown around a lot, but I really do mean it. I feel empowered in it. And I know there's a lot of concern about like, oh, appropriating sex worker culture for civilians and disregarding the sex worker past it came from and downplaying it. Like on Instagram, there's all these hashtags of folks who have taken up pole dancing and then they hashtag their pictures, not a stripper.
Right.
And it's like, bitch, please, who do you think made up that move? Mm-hmm. So my school is taught, it was founded by, at the time they were strippers, now they are former strippers, but like they're still, you know, that's where they came from, that's where they learned this, and a good number of the teachers have been current or former strippers, and it's very, it acknowledges and embraces and tells the students, like, this came from the strip club. Yeah. This move right here, this is stripper move number one. And appropriation is something that I'm doing my best to learn about and understand. And, you know, who am I to say this isn't appropriation or this is appropriation? But the school I come from very much celebrates and says, this is who made this up. Mm-hmm. And this is where it came from. So there's no whitewashing of it. There's no cleaning up the sex worker past of it. It's very much like, no, this is where it came from, guys. And when you go, you should go to the strip club and you should see girls doing this. And And you should pay them. Yeah. So yeah, for me, the hashtag would be not as good as a stripper.
Oh. I have to say, I have seen some pictures of you on Instagram doing your moves and like, just literally in my fat body, that would not be something I'm capable of doing anytime in the near future. So for me, it's very awe-inspiring of just like, wow. Well, thank
you. There are plus-size strippers, though. And I know, like, I'm sure there's body restrictions on some things, but I know I've definitely seen some plus-size folks doing pole stuff that I can't fucking do. So there's lots of room for variation in there.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And I just, you know, I love any excuse for us to, one, find ways to express ourselves and to like develop new relationships with our bodies in ways that feel really like authentic and yummy. And also just to be able to, yeah, just kind of peel that curtain back on sex work and show that like it's not the dark, scary myth version that we've been told as just kind of like the blanket story for sex workers. But there's lots of people who have lots of different experiences and do it for lots of different reasons. And like we should invite those dialogues in. And I feel like pole dancing is such a beautiful way of doing both of those things.
Yeah. Oh God. I remember. So I was in this class, with one of my favorite former teachers. She's moved on now, but, we had a student who said something disparaging about strippers and, the teacher, oh God, how did it go? I just remember the student said something like, oh, but you're not like that to the teacher, or you'd never do something like that. And the teacher says, actually, yeah, I am a stripper right now. And the teacher wasn't like snarky about it. She wasn't, mean or anything about it, which, you know, she could have been entitled to be, absolutely. But it was just like, oh no, actually I am a stripper. Okay. Moving right along. Da, 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 da. And you could just see the shock on this girl's face as it blew this girl's mind, where somebody that she was learning from, somebody she respected, somebody who she saw as talented and a normal person is like, wait a minute, you're a sex worker too? What? And it was just such a casual learning moment that wasn't made a big deal of, but you could tell somebody's opinion just completely got turned upside down right there in the moment.
I love those moments. I love it when they happen for other people, and I love it when they happen for me. Like even though those moments sometimes hurt or are really embarrassing, like I love those moments when someone offers me a perspective or an idea that hadn't occurred to me in that way before. And I have to really like reevaluate all the things. Well, I know that we're right at the end of our hour and I want to respect your time. And so I would love for you, before we wrap up, to let everyone know how they can find you online and on social media to not only stay on top of all of the Oh Joy Sex Toy stuff that you do, but just to hear about the classes and the lectures that you're doing.
Okay. Yes. OhJoySexToy.com is where you can find it. And O is spelled O-H. So it's like OhJoySexToy.com. And have other websites, but they're so neglected. So just go to OhJoySexToy.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Erica Moen. And Erica is E-R-I-K-A-M-O-E-N. It is not Erica with a C. And my husband is +10 strength on Twitter. And if you want to support what we're making and what we're doing, Patreon is one of the best ways to do that. And if you go to Patreon, patreon.com/Erica Moen, you can support us. And you can't search for us on Patreon because we do adult content and they don't show adult things if you search for them on the site. But if you go directly to that URL, my full URL, that'll take you there. And people don't need to like sign up for a lifetime to support us forever. Like you can just sign up for a month and give us a dollar. And that's, we're grateful for that. That is awesome. And let's see here. You can follow me on Instagram at @fuckyeahericamoen. Don't follow Erica Moen because she's just some poor blonde lady who keeps getting tweets from people talking about sex stuff at her. That poor woman. But yeah, fuck yeah, Erica Moen. And boo, I don't know. I'm on the internet. If you Google my name, like, you'll see all this stuff.
Well, I will have links to Oh Joy Sex Toy, to both of your Twitters, to your Patreon, for this episode of Sex Gets Real, so that it'll be nice and easy for all the listeners to follow you and check out all the work that you're doing with a couple of clicks.
All right, cool. Yeah. Two means.
Yeah. So I just want to thank you, Erica, so much for being so generous to come on the show. It's a weekend for listeners who aren't aware that we're doing this. So I really appreciate you taking a little bit of time to come on and just share about the learning you've done and the work that you're doing. I think it's such a wonderful contribution to the world.
Oh, well, thank you so, so much for having me on and talking to me and listening to me. And also thanks for being my first conversation of the day. So you guys all got to hear my brain warming up in real time. Cause I'm on the West Coast. I'm on a different time zone.
Well, thank you so much. And I just want to thank all of the listeners for tuning in. If you have any questions about anything you heard today, or if you have anything that you'd like me to cover down the road, any stories or questions, please go to sexgetsreal.com. There's a contact form that you can submit questions anonymously. You can also follow along on Facebook and Twitter at Sex Gets Real. And until next week, this is Dawn Sarah. Bye.